Thank you for the introduction. So as you mentioned, I'll be focusing on soil quality and biodiversity impacts of shrub willow on an agricultural landscape. So as a bioenergy focused session, many of you may already be familiar with the driving forces for alternate energy development. But when we talk about energy, we also have to keep in mind the competing demands between resources and the possible negative impacts that the use of one resource may have on the availability and quality of another resource. So as we develop perennial biomass feedstocks and design their integration into the landscape, we are aiming to balance and optimize resource use by designing multifunctional landscapes. So how do we accomplish this? By targeting marginal lands. So working in Illinois, at the heart of the Corn Belt, the study that I'm presenting on will focus on marginal lands in the agricultural landscape. The Indian Creek watershed, which is shown here, is our target watershed, and its land cover in total, 87% of its land cover is under agricultural production. And it's currently situated at the headwaters of the Vermilion River, which is considered to be nitrate impaired by the EPA. And these waters eventually end up in the Mississippi River and subsequently into the Gulf of Mexico. So now, when we talk about marginal lands, there are different ways that we can classify marginality, and different marginal classifications in terms of importance depends on where it's located, as well as the needs of the landowner, as well as surrounding community. So due to the location of our field site, our focus was on nitrate leaching from traditional grain crop production. And to no surprise, the areas that have the highest nitrate leaching potential are also underproductive for corn production. So the objective of the study aimed to improve land use efficiency by creating multifunctional landscapes that could provide both biomass feedstock production as well as additional ecosystem services. So as I already alluded to, nitrogen reduction was our main ecosystem service of interest. However, there are additional ecosystem services of important ecosystem services given we're talking about a perennial crop. And so these include greenhouse gas reduction, soil quality improvements, and the possible increase in pollinator and pest control potential by means of providing habitat. And I'll just be focusing on the latter two for this part of the presentation. So short rotation shrub willow, Salix myabina, was selected as our bioenergy crop. The field site was set up to monitor willow production as well as environmental impacts on both non-marginal country loan soils, so our northern plots, and our marginal southern Somerton silt loam soil, so our southern plots down there. The system was set up as a passive nutrient recovery design where the leach nutrients from upslope corn served as the nutrient source for bioenergy production. Willows are typically harvested between leaf senescence and spring bud break, so usually late fall, early winter, which allows farmers to maximize land for crop production by allowing grain crop to be planted up to the edge of those buffers. So that off-season harvesting allows for the removal of that headspace requirement. And because we're talking about a perennial crop, willows are managed differently than corn in terms of tillage, fertilizer source, and weed management. And just to note that weeds under the willow canopy were managed mechanically via mowing versus chemically as compared to grain crop. And so willows were planted as half-acre buffers in 2013 and coppiced at the end to allow for shoot development. They were allowed to grow for 3 years with minimal maintenance, and then they were harvested in the winter of 2017. So harvestable willow biomass was comparable between our northern and southern willow plots. However, we can attribute the lower biomass yields in our northern plots due to planting issues, where many of our plots or many of our rows were planted as single row versus double row, so we had a lower initial planting density than expected. However, the bare patches in our southern plots warrant further evaluation. Future work will focus on trying to match willow productivity with soil chemical composition to have a better understanding of willow production potential on marginal lands. However, our interest in soil chemical composition is not only the impacts that soils can have on willow production, but also the impacts that willows have on soil quality. So as we designed our multifunctional landscape, we want to ensure, A, that willows aren't depleting the soil nutrient reserves, given that we are not directly fertilizing the willow plots. B, we want to determine if there is any soil quality benefits of planting willow over traditional grain crop, given that we are switching from an herbaceous annual to a woody perennial. And C, we also want to know how long before it takes for us to detect differences. So we found that the surface soil total nitrogen has declined since willow introduction, but it stays fairly comparable to corn, which declines at approximately the same rate, no significant difference between them. We will continue to monitor this as the willows mature and after each subsequent willow harvest to see how soil nutrient dynamics change over time. In terms of soil organic carbon, which was converted from soil organic matter using that equation, levels stay somewhat consistent over time. Now in the subsoil, our southern willows show a slight increase in both total nitrogen as well as soil organic carbon, which is again something we'll monitor to see if this trend holds or if we see a bigger influence of plot heterogeneity. So ordination analysis of soil samples across the years reveals a strong influence of soil type. And if you look back at remember those last two graphs I just showed you on total nitrogen and soil organic carbon, you definitely see that difference in our comfrey loam soils compared to our Semberton silt loam soils. However, we do begin to see a strong clustering among samples in plots, which may begin to suggest that we might begin to see a divergence in soil conditions under each crop type. So soil microbial diversity is another good measure of soil health. In this case, we are interested in the microbial community composition, particularly in their functional groups, and how they change as crop cover and management practices change from an annual to a perennial cropping system. So this figure looks at the change in the relative abundance between 2011, which is pre-willow, to 2013, which is post-willow. And we do see that many phylums have bacteria phylums have both a positive and negative change in response to crop cover, with many of them playing important roles in nutrient cycling. So this figure points out some of the major genuses of those previously targeted phylum, which play important roles in both carbon and nitrogen cycling. And we are looking at how their abundances change both by soil type as well as by year. So Nitrospheria was the only genus that had the opposite response based on soil type between the years. So we're seeing a greater abundance in our southern marginal plots at Semberton silt loam as compared to our northern plots, which saw a decrease in 2013, with future work required to understand why. Ordination analysis reveals that in 2011 and 2013, we have different microbial communities, with soil type only seemed to be a factor in 2011 and not so much in 2013. And community composition between the 2 years are primarily driven by organic matter, phosphorus, and pH, explaining about 30% of the variation. However, as we add data from more recent years, we'll see if this continual deviation and community composition holds true. And if it persists as the wills begin to mature and as we switch from a corn-on-corn rotation to a corn-on-soybean rotation. So in addition, because we saw that possible subsoil total nitrogen and soil organic carbon increase under southern willows, understanding our soil microbial community composition might also help us to verify those trends. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about another important group of species that are considered good indicators for ecosystem health. With the increasing interest in maintaining pollinator diversity as well as abundance and controlling pests, we began to monitor canopy-dwelling invertebrates across our various soil types. And our interests are not only to see what species utilize the landscape, but also if they provide any type of beneficial services. And if so, is this a quality habitat to attract them to? So across our three vegetation types, our riparian, willow, and soybean this year, our initial collections show that there's a range of canopy-dwelling invertebrates present in our landscape, and a portion of these invertebrates can be classified as either pests or have limited ecological importance, while a large number of others can be classified as either playing important ecological roles, including pollination and pest control. As I mentioned before, with mechanical weed management under our willow plots, understory vegetation coverage is primarily determined by canopy closure and how understory vegetation impacts both insect diversity as well as microbial diversity is something that we'll continue to monitor in the future. So in conclusion, we'll continue to monitor trends in organic matter and total nitrogen, in addition to other soil chemical parameters, to see how their conditions change as the wills mature. We want to ensure that the trends that we see in subsoil organic matter and total and soil organic carbon are due to crop effects and not so much an artifact of plot heterogeneity. So in terms of biodiversity, we did see microbial community composition change already between 2011 and 2013, which is at the start of willow introduction. So as we include 2015 through 2017 data, we'll be able to understand a little bit more about that trend. By understanding our soil community composition, this may also be able to help us understand changes in other monitored environmental parameters, including greenhouse gas emissions, nitrate leaching, and of course our crop productivity. And so for our canopy-dwelling invertebrates, preliminary field observations suggest that willows may have the potential to provide a longer and more diverse seasonal pollinator habitat compared to soybean due to the greater understory diversity of vegetation, but again, future field collections will help us to verify those observations. Acknowledgements to our funding source, as well as both our team at Argonne, as well as University of Illinois, and to our wonderful interns that helped collect most of our field work with us. And questions? My coworker is presenting at 3 p.m. in room 33 at the Convention Center. More on this project if you're interested. That's it.
Any questions?
From a pure production standpoint, there's a lot of people that say we should consider planting a mix of willow cultivars. Mm-hmm.
In terms of adding different cultivars of willows particularly?
Yeah.
Well, the only, based on the research that I've come across, the downfall of doing mix, particularly in a single plot, is the competition. some of the stronger cultivars or clones within a species has a tendency to outcompete another, which then impacts your essentially yield productivity, which I think is kind of another one of those reasons. There are a couple of studies that looked at not applying herbicides to understory to get that diversity in that system. So that's another way of increasing heterogeneity of your landscape by including understory versus necessarily your main crop. But there's definitely a lot of research trying to see mixes. But as of right now, I think the biggest argument is that loss in crop productivity due to immediate competition. But yeah, anything else? Thank you.